Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast, at Pride Detroit on Twitter, Pride Detroit on Facebook, PrideDetroit.com, your Detroit Lions football website. Guys, 5-4, back in the win column, and it's over the goddang Minnesota Vikings in overtime.
Overtime.
This was a really fun game, and I apologize out of the gate because we are all the adrenaline has finally drained out of us in the last couple of hours.
I'm exhausted.
Not all of us, baby. Not all of us.
Jeremy over here, Mr. just can't stop, won't stop, ever stop.
Okay.
The photoshopping has kept me alive today.
That's what I was going to say.
Kept the hype machine
going.
That's
what I was going to say. You've just constantly been doing hits, and you haven't stopped. You're about as excited as Jim Caldwell in that photo.
Pretty much. I've been grinding my teeth all day. It's just jittery, and I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. It's great. I've barely slept in the past 48 hours, but I love it.
We're going to talk about it in a second. First, though, we need to do... what am I going to do here? Should I just drop Africa in here right now? Just drop it in here right now. Okay. Give it a little bit there.
Is it going to hurt anybody?
No. Why would dropping Africa hurt someone? It's Africa. Toto's Africa. I'm sorry. Okay. So we use this song on our first Bite podcast as a tribute to, I think that's our intro music moving forward there, but kind of a theme has emerged. We've become more and more enamored with Toto Africa as the weeks have gone by. And Jeremy finally released we here at Pride Detroit, we have a lot of inside jokes, and we try to get as many inside jokes outside our realm as we can. Jeremy today, Monday, when we're recording, put out there that, quote, for no discernible reason, Pride Detroit has adopted Toto's Africa as the official song for hashtag Victory Monday. So Africa is our Don't Stop Believing. Africa is the Detroit Lions' Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Africa is our victory cigar. It's our Sweet Caroline, maybe. It's the song we're all about, but we're committed to this song. We want to make this song the soul of Lions Nation.
You want to start this podcast off with a hot take?
What's that?
Toto is much better than Journey.
Ooh.
Okay. Journey is the most overrated band of all time.
Someone was saying in our mailbag, I think it was by, very fittingly enough, commenter Justin Oldfart, about Toto. Great band, but aren't most of you guys a little young for this group?
Song is ageless.
I was going to say, you're never too old for a song that is timeless. So
I'm also a really big fan of like 80s music.
Like how good is the chorus too, though? The chorus is incredible. Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's the entire song right there. It's just so strong. You want to scream it out. I almost did at 5:30 in the morning today.
That 100 men or more could ever do.
Song is about Matt Prater.
Dude, everything about that song, it's like, there's just like the hi-hat and the snare drum, the bass, like
that synth.
Yeah, and the conga, like it's just everything about it, like the bass line, like everything in my mind, like if I ever go to Africa, if I'm not listening to Toto on the flight in, I'm doing something extremely wrong.
Yeah, I didn't even see the music video until you linked it though, Jeremy, and I've got to say it is a frightfully fun music video.
They really nailed down what the African experience is actually like, right?
Sitting in a goddamn library and getting attacked with like an incredible, with a smoking hot librarian sitting across from you, but like she's engrossed in like stamping passports because apparently we were doing passports in a library or something.
It's the '80s, man. Things happen. Yeah, things happened all over the place, or at least from what I'm told, you guys would probably know a little bit better about what happened in the '80s than I would.
There is definitely going to be an '80s music list cast in the future for the off season.
But it's just going to be you and me because Ryan was born in like 1995 or some
you
shit.
Can listen to it. I've got playlists you can listen up. Jesus.
I wish we were friends after a Lions victory. Everybody was. I saw all the tweets that said, "Man, can't wait to hear the podcast. What a great win." We need to really pick things up.
We should have done it last night. We were all friends last night. And then I don't even know what happened.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we're a good 5 minutes into this, I'm going to leave the Young Caldwell memes for probably next segment to talk about. Because Jeremy found a masterpiece of Caldwell, thanks to Justin Rogers. But we need to talk about the game. We're 5 minutes in, and we need to talk about Detroit Lions' 22-16 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. And with Green Bay's loss to the Colts, the Lions are now second in the division. Barring half a game and on a bye next week, the Vikings will play Washington. If Washington wins, the Lions will have sole possession of first place in the NFC North.
Yeah, and I guess no unless pressure. The Packers win too, then there's some sort of weird three-way scenario. Ooh, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. But who are the Packers playing next week?
I don't know. Someone.
Someone. Yeah. The Packers are playing. Oh, the Titans.
And Minnesota is playing the team from Washington.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Lions could be coming back from the bye week in first place. And
well, they're definitely in the hunt, but we're going to talk about that. I think we wanted to keep on this team, though, for this segment.
Yeah, let's talk about the game.
Let's talk about Golden Tate. Let's talk about Golden Tate putting his Golden Tate in Sendejo's face.
There is nothing more fun to me than watching Golden Tate break tackles because he didn't do it a lot this game, but he's always good for one where it's just like, how in the hell did you do that? And that's why I think Jim Bob Cooter always goes back to those short screens, because one of these catches, he's going to do something magical. And that's what he's been doing the past 4 weeks.
Yeah, even though the Vikings have basically figured out the screens and it, like, the entire game, that was the amazing thing about that final play, because that entire damn game, the Vikings have the screen figured out. They're jumping it before it even like gets out of Stafford's hand. They know exactly where they're going, and they're tackling a receiver for loss. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that the game-winning play was, you know, what 15-yard out or something. Because the Lions didn't really attack the Vikings there a lot all game. It was either those short things or Stafford threw like 3 or 4 bombs that game too, which was kind of out of personality for this offense. But the middle of the field really didn't get attacked this game, except for Eric Ebron, who had himself game.
Was that a career high this game, I believe?
92 yards receiving, yep.
92 yards, yep. Could have had a lot more, too. I know he got tripped up on 1.2, and he was very mad about it. I just, before we talk about, there's some other people more like throughout this game we need to talk about, especially in terms of the defense and on offense. But before we move away from Golden Tate, Sendejo, you played yourself, man. Sendejo did not need to get a face full of Tate. Like, you watch that play. Sendejo, like, comes out of nowhere. He's trying to be the lunch pail guy. He's trying to, like, play hard to the final whistle. And,
You're gonna dog him for that?
Yeah, I am, because he got his face. He got a face of Tate.
I don't think he was expecting to catch a Hurricane Rana from Golden Tate, but, you know, let's just talk about that last play for just a quick second. The 15-yard out. Xavier Rhodes is in coverage, as is Harrison Smith. Harrison Smith, who is he's one of my favorite players in the NFL, just because he's such an incredible, like, talent. His ability to play kind of all over the box as a safety, you know, up against the line, even you know, back in coverage, you know, he's not the best coverage safety, but he's known for being one of the most sure tacklers.
He was on the top five list of all of our list casts in safety.
Yes, and
yep. Yeah, he was.
And for a guy who's as slight of frame as Golden Tate to stiff arm Harrison Smith into the ground, he planted him No, I don't think Harrison Smith has anybody checked on his body? I think he's buried. He's buried at the bank.
He's buried at US Bank. He's
buried
Bank,
at
yeah.
the bank. Golden Tate really did that shit. He stiff armed him. And then he hit Sendejo with a Hurricane Rana into the end zone. It was one of it might be my most memorable moment as a Lions fan watching a play develop. And I've just never seen anything like that. Xavier Rhodes is he's gone on the sideline. He evaporated. He eviscerated. Like he went Swayze after he passed the boundary line. Xavier Rhodes didn't make the flight. They don't know if he's going to play for week 10 because they have to find him.
He's AWOL. I want to ask y'all this then about Golden Tate, because Golden Tate said afterwards, because obviously, what do you do after this? You ask the guy about the play that he made. And what's Golden Tate have to say about his little Hurricane Rana in the end zone? He doesn't remember it. And that sounds a lot like BS, but before you do, just remember, I've heard this. I just want to say I've heard this line from Golden Tate before. I've seen him even say it, like, in regards to, like, when he dove into the band, the Michigan State band, when he was back at Notre Dame, which is, like, up until this point, that was, like, the other very classic Golden Tate moment. So do you believe him when he says he honestly doesn't remember this kind of thing? Do you believe that, like, just his brain shuts off in that kind of, like, game-winning moment, and he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to let instinct take over and just do something insane?
I kind of buy into it, because yeah. Whenever you see Tate's eyes after plays like this, he has this very, like, faraway look in his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, man.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
He's got like, some go time shit going on.
Absolutely.
I think it was the open thread for Monday. We have a picture of him stiff-arming a dude. He's not, no emotion, not even looking the dude in the face. Just, like, he's a man possessed. And I want to say, I play a little sports myself, and I feel like I'm a very in the moment kind of guy, so I don't.
Sports yourself, God.
I'm not trying to compare myself, but I'm just trying to bring my own perspective here. In that, like, big moments like that, you remember after the big moment happens. Like, you don't know that it's a big moment before, while the play is going on. So to me, I can kind of understand, like, not actually remembering that part of it.
I think it would also kind of just be human nature if you did have the awareness to realize how big of a moment it was. I think that any human being would just naturally get shocked, or like shell-shocked a little bit.
Right.
So I mean, you right. almost kind of have to remove yourself from the moment and remove yourself from the context and just do what you do, which is play football. And like, even, you know, if you want to go back to the Thanksgiving Day game last year, when Golden Tate walks into the end zone. He's walking into the end zone like, yeah, I've done this before, and this is where I belong, and I'm just doing my business. You never see, I haven't seen Golden Tate, like, scream or yell, or he's the player version of Jim Caldwell.
Is Golden Tate the greatest player in the NFL at crossing the goal line?
Yes.
No?
No, no.
Who?
Antonio Brown.
Oh, that's good.
No,
he did a front flip into the end zone.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's that Bengals receiver that did that?
I'm a bad Bengals fan right now. It wasn't
AJ Green.
No, it wasn't AJ Green. No, I think it may. Was it Mohamed Sanu? We're doing this right now on the podcast. Was it him?
Seriously, why'd you throw this hat at us?
Whatever.
Let's instead talk about. Go to the next side of it. Do you want to talk about Matt Stafford? Or do you want to talk about the defense?
Let's talk Stafford, because I think there's not a full consensus on how he did this game. What did you guys think what do you think about his performance overall?
Ryan, you take it first.
Well, I think that there was there was some room for improvement, right? I mean, 23 of 36 for 219, two touchdowns and an interception. The interception was bad. No good, horrible, bad throw. I'm not sure what the read was there. I'm not sure what the throw was there. It just was ill-advised. It was concerning because it happened so early in the game, and you kind of got the thought maybe early in the game, like, oh, it might be one of those games.
There were some people on Twitter, we're not going to put them on blast, but said that the game was over right after that.
Okay. Well, I wasn't ready to say that the game was over, but it felt like maybe it might be something akin to like the Bears game or something, just because it happened.
Well, you expect that penalty. I mean, you expect that mistake to result in 7 points where the Vikings took over. Right.
Right. And I mean, we'll get into the defense a little bit later, but you know, moving on from there, the final drive of the second half was something just incredibly, incredibly beautiful to watch. The way that the Lions were able to eat up so much time, you know, a 17 play drive for 84 yards that lasts for nearly 10 minutes. That's how you play football on the road, especially when you're in a hostile environment. Yes, they have a very good defense, but to keep their defense on the field for 10 minutes, I don't think even a halftime could get your defense well rested enough to come out and look good. But you know, for some of the things where Stafford looked good, you want to talk about the overtime drive where, you know, the Lions went 87 yards and Stafford was 7 for 8 and looked like MVP Stafford. There was some things that were concerning, and I don't know about you guys, but all of the 3-and-outs in the second half, those seem problematic, and those I think had a lot to do with play calling. But at the same time, Stafford looked, at times he looked a little bit off.
He did. And I think sometimes too, like, this is kind of one of those things that, you know, this takes a little bit of getting used to, like, especially there's a lot here to be said about Jim Bob Cooter as a rookie offensive coordinator. Like, it's like your screens are getting beat that hard, and like, yeah, normally you'd adjust, but I mean, maybe he just didn't really have an answer for that. He's like, okay, what do I do here? I don't understand that. But then, yeah, you can give a little of that blame to Stafford because you kind of expect your quarterback, your veteran quarterback, to kind of read those and figure out, it's like, okay, this isn't working, so I've got to be in charge and call the audible or whatever. But I mean, hey, man, this is still an evolving little thing. Yeah, that defense was eating the Lions, and I think you even pointed out, was it you, Jeremy, or was it Alex? Like, this defense was built to beat the Lions because they can get. No, it was on the First Bite podcast, Ryan. You know, this Vikings defense, it is built to go side to side and just beat you where the Lions had normally excelled to get their efficient first down pickups.
Let me ask Jeremy now. Let's get back to you, big guy. What did you think of Stafford and the way he took some shots downfield to Marvin Jones?
I thought it was smart. I mean, the Lions needed to do something other than these short passes that weren't working against a quick Vikings defense. And listen, the way games are officiated, there's very little bad things that can happen when you go deep. Obviously, you waste a down if it's incomplete, but I mean, I hate to hate on Trey Waynes because I'm a Wolverine, but he should have been called for at least 2 deep pass interference calls that game. And if either of those are called, the Lions have at least 3 points on that drive. At least. And I mean, I think it was probably a little out of character for the offense to do it that often, and I probably don't want to see them doing it 4 or 5 times a game. But yeah, against a tight defense like that, why not take a 50-50 shot when nothing else is working?
Okay, got a cut 1 minute here before we have to get out to this break. Just real quick thoughts on the defense. I thought better, I think. Can we say better?
Absolutely, I think you can better, say better.
For sure.
I mean, some of that was penalties, but that interception turns into a punt and not 7 points or even 3 points.
That was easily the biggest drive of the game for the defense. Basically, the defense had 2 very good drives and the rest were just kind of more of the same. That was the first one after the interception. The second one was a 4th down stop. Huge play in the second half to get them to turn it over on downs in the fourth quarter. the offense didn't do them any favors by all those three and outs. And to me, if I think one of the bigger things that not a lot of people are talking about is in overtime, I think if the Lions kick a field goal in that game, they'll probably end up losing it because this defense was tired. Look at the last four drives of the Vikings. 9 plays, 10 plays, 8 plays, 13 plays. They were driving on them consistently. And so for Matthew Stafford to go out there and score a touchdown to help an ailing defense that was probably tired as hell, was probably going to be without Nevin Lawson because he was dealing with an injury. Huge. Huge for them to score a touchdown in overtime.
Yeah, definitely. And just like, look, I mean, this defense is going to get some guys back, but we're also seeing some of the young pups finally making a little bit of plays too. Granted, against a very weak offensive line, but I guess you give him props because they did get to Sam Bradford a few times, and they did, and just up front at least, like, you keep them honest on the ground. And again, not a great good matchup for the Lions to have there. It's not a great unit to beat, but you know, baby steps. I do see this defense kind of coming together slowly, and there's going to be a upper limit to how much better they can get this year with the personnel they have. But I mean, outside of getting of Bademossi getting picked on, we didn't really see too many errors, I should say.
I guess. I mean, I'm still not too optimistic about this unit yet. Anytime Sam Bradford completes 77.5% of his passes, not really a good day, even if it's a lot of dinking and dunking, because they're getting a lot of yak too. So
yeah,
I'm cautiously optimistic, but not high. This is still a well below average unit right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go so far as to say cautiously optimistic. I just feel like it is what it is. And I don't think that there's anybody after the bye week that's going to come back and necessarily save this defense. But I think we've made it pretty clear that even if this defense can just be right around below average, that I think that the offense can make up for that.
Not even the offense, just Stafford and just these like last ditch moments where it's like, okay, he just works so damn well under pressure.
Under pressure. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 dun.
More 80s.
We're going to have more 80s music. Yeah.
After the break.
Let's take a quick break. Yeah, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, a little bit more talk about this game. And I'm going to start taking a look around as the Lions enter the bye. Let's talk about the division. Let's talk about some midseason thoughts, take stock, and get ready for a little bit of a break, get a little bit of a breather, catch our breaths, because holy God, I'm tired. This bye comes at a perfect time. Continuing on here on the Pride of Detroit podcast, what a game. Just final thoughts, anything from that game? Like, I still can't get over, like, both Matt Stafford and Matt Prater coming through in the clutch like that. What's the stat you had today, Jeremy, about Matt Prater?
I think he's, 23 of 23 game-winning kicks or game-tying kicks in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter or overtime. Sick. That's why I put out that article today on Monday about Prater, because I mean, when I saw that stat, I was shocked. I had no idea that he was perfect in crunch time. That's ridiculous. I should know that about our own kicker, and I feel like Matt Prater doesn't get enough credit.
It's still kind of settling in with me that Prater is our kicker too, right?
Yeah. And I think there was a lot of trust issues with Prater when he first came here. First, because the Lions were 4-10 in field goals when he came in.
Oh, yeah. And Alex Henry.
Yeah. And Nate Freeze. But he wasn't great that year. He was like 80% or so. And, you know, you can chalk that up to whatever it is, whatever you want. Maybe it's, you know, he hasn't built a rapport with his snap guy and his hold guy. Maybe just had an off year. I mean, that happens with kickers all the time. But Lions fans should be happy right now. I remember earlier in the game, we were teasing someone on Twitter because they were making fun of Blair Walsh after he missed his extra point, saying that he pulled a Matt Prater. And we're like, what? When did Prater get that reputation? He's missed one or two extra points, maybe Seriously, three while he's like, been a Lion, but this has been a really good kicker for the Lions, considering where we were. Lions fans should be absolutely thrilled that Matt Prater is their kicker right now.
All right, now let's talk about the rest of everything. Well, actually, before we do that, we can talk about Young Caldwell. Young Caldwell, Young Money.
Well, we got a little Young Caldwell on Sunday. He was spry and jumping around there when Prater nailed that 58-yarder.
Everyone talks about this guy being a damn robot, but man, like, I don't know, maybe the adrenaline's getting to him, too.
Robots are just getting more lifelike.
Maybe. But Justin Rogers from the Detroit News also found something, a veritable treat.
Do you want me to go into it?
Is this, so I don't know the background. This isn't at Penn State, is it? Is this him at Iowa?
I don't know. Justin didn't really give a lot of background. He just said he's been sitting on this picture for a while. And then when Jim Caldwell today in Monday's press conference literally said, "I'm a human too," he's like, "Oh, I got to pull this out now."
So, yeah, I'm really trying to see in that picture. I don't really have a good case of anything. I want to say it's Penn State because it's just so, like, there's no other things. But he is jumping through the air, man. He is, he's having fun.
He's having himself a good old time and just like a big old smile on his face. He's got some ups too. He's like 2 feet in the air there.
Why is he jumping like that? He's so close to the sideline too. Like, I really wish I knew what else was going on in that picture. I'm going to have to do my own research. But if you participated at all in making the Young Caldwells with all the Photoshops that are going on today, congratulations. You're awesome. Our memes are kind of getting out of control here.
I'm probably going to throw together a post of my favorite ones.
You absolutely should.
Just because it was fun. And it's a bye week. Let's have a little fun. Lions are
it is the
five and
week.
Four.
By week 5-4. And that brings us talking about you guys. I hate doing this, but big picture talk time, true big picture hours in the house. Let's talk about the NFC North and that dreaded eight letter word.
Nope.
And I'm not going to say yet.
Seven.
No, because it's plural.
Oh, okay.
Don't do this to me. I graduated high school. I just took the damn GRE last week. Do not mess with me right now. I'm in a good mood. So the Lions.
Are you trying to convince yourself or me?
Yes. The Lions are 5-4. That's good enough for half. We mentioned half a game out of the top of the NFC North. Games remaining. Are you guys ready for this? As we come back from the bye, we'll have the Jags. Well, the Vikings.
Win.
Two at home.
Win.
On the road to the Saints.
Tie.
Home against the Bears. Now, you want to say we own the Bears. Let's get back to beating the Bears. How have they done this? They've like beaten a bunch of teams now. Like They've beaten two, but they are also both like, you know, NFC North contenders. Do you think they're going to beat the Packers in because both their wins have come against NFC North opponents in Soldier Field?
No, I think that the Packers are still the best team in the division.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, a lot of people can point to the fact that Rodgers isn't really Rodgers yet, and the wide receivers are having trouble getting separation still, and they don't have a running game, and their defense is banged up. But hey, you know, everybody's got problems, and I'm still just not ready to fully count out Aaron Rodgers. I'm really not. I don't think you can. I don't think you can until you see him fail. And I have not seen Aaron Rodgers fail on a regular season scale. So,
well, they're already past their bye, so they get no rest from here on out. And they will have to go on the road to play the Titans and play Washington and play the Eagles.
Yes, three road games in a row.
That's tough. But
and then home against Texans, Seahawks, then Bears, Vikings, Lions. So, I mean, that's going to be a rough one for... But anyway, I wanted to keep it on the Lions. So we talked about those three. So then, yeah. So Bears, you'll get that W. Hopefully, maybe.
Are we doing this?
I was joking. I was joking, going down because
I don't want to chalk off wins losses because no. Just holy God, with this team, are you kidding me?
With any team, that's kind of the point though. Like, I mean, when I say like the Packers are still probably the best team in the division, and we go, okay, well they have three road games in a row and they're playing, you know, the Titans and they got the Washington, like it doesn't really matter to me in this 2016 season when it comes to the NFL. Who can beat who? It really is the cliche. Like, anybody can win on any given week unless you're playing the Patriots. I really think that's the case. The Cowboys lost to the Giants.
Do you think that chaos is healthy, though?
No, it's making me go nuts. I think it's wholly entertaining. There hasn't been a more entertaining of a season of Lions football that I've watched in my... you know, young life ever since I was born in 1999. But I'm super excited. And, but at the same time, it can be very frustrating.
The thing I want to say about the Packers too, is that I don't want to completely agree with you, Ryan, because I think the only reason that anyone kind of holds the Packers in high regard right now is because of Aaron Rodgers. Everything else is not really working for them. But if you look at their losses, they don't really have a bad one out there. They lost at Minnesota, against the Cowboys, at Atlanta, and then Sunday's game against the Colts is probably their worst loss, which, I mean, the Lions were seconds away from doing that themselves. So I agree that people are burying the Packers a little too quickly here, but they, I mean, like you said, they certainly have their problems, and every team in this division is flawed enough where no one is good enough to win the division, meaning pretty much anyone can win the division.
Let's say this. I think that the winner of this division is going to be 10-6 at most. At most.
Yeah.
There is not an 11-win team in this division. 10-6 will win you this division.
9-7 might win you the goddamn division.
You know what? I wouldn't call you crazy for saying that. But by the same account, I don't think that you want to talk about that 7 or 8-letter word, whether you want to make it plural or not. I don't think that the Lions obtain that berth unless they win the division. I'm not going to say it. If I say it, then I give it power.
If you say it, I'm going to drop in Jim Mora.
Okay. Playoffs.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Oh man, is that Jim Mora on the podcast or is that Chris? Oh dad, is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Shut up. One important thing to keep in mind here is tiebreakers could certainly be huge in this division.
Right? They absolutely can.
And right now, there are only two teams with a winning divisional record. Do you know who they are?
One of them is the Lions.
No, nope. We're 1-2 against the division.
Yep.
Oh. Lost the Bears.
Lost against the Bears and Packers. The Bears are 2-1 in the division, as are the Packers. Vikings and Lions are both 1-2. But the good news for the Lions is that they're 4-2 against the conference. So if they're tied in division record, I believe the next tiebreaker is conference record. And they have the best record there, 4-2 to the Vikings, and Green Bay are 3-3. Chicago's 2-3.
But here's the thing, like... If we're getting, I don't think it'll come to those tiebreakers because there's kind of a bit of a, if it gets to that point where you're starting to look at tiebreakers for the division by week 17, week 17's game will resolve it for you.
New Year's Day
is probably, that is the nightmare for Lions fans to have.
I'm not
this
ready
kind
for
of
that.
Season. Yeah, none of us are ready. I'm having knots in my stomach just looking at the schedule, seeing that right there.
Can I have the bye week, Chris? Come on. Before we start talking about week 17 and the impending doom that week 17 might pose, at least it'll be at Ford Field, right?
It will, but true. I mean...
What has ever gone wrong playing the Packers in week 17?
Just shut your mouth.
Matt Flynn.
Why?
Why'd you do that? I wouldn't even go there. Why'd you do that?
Chris, you really sound like Jim Mora tonight.
Do I?
Why?
You know, I want to apologize for thinking that the Lions had a winning record against the division. It's just that I refuse to believe that we ever lost to the Bears.
Bears.
Right. So why would I ever think that we lost to them?
Yeah. All right. Midseason thoughts, though, besides making Ryan afraid of the end of the season now.
Stop.
I pegged this team at 6-10, man. I have to revise it now.
Do you?
Not by many wins, but I don't think they're going to go only one win the rest of the way. This team is too random, and the teams they're playing, I can't just say, yeah, they're just going to get beat. Like, look, there are 7 games left, and I think the Lions will probably win, I would say, 3 to 4 of those games. Now, don't tell me which games they are, and I'm not going to go down the schedule and tell you which games they are, because the Lions are so goddamn random, it doesn't matter. Like, logic would say, okay, yeah, the Jags will probably be a win. Vikings, with them looking around for someone to replace Blair Walsh, they might actually beat us that time. Okay, maybe you went over the Saints. But you know what? You know what? It doesn't matter with this team. Weird shit could happen. We could end up losing to the Jags and then beating the Cowboys or something. That's how dumb this team is, and that's how much this team rules.
That's how dumb this team is. It's how much they rule. I love this team. I love everything about this team. I love all of its flaws. I love it.
This is the best Lions team, period. Like, 2014, cool. You had a really, really cool defense. But, man, just watch these games, man. Watch these damn games.
The only comparison I can make is 2011, because 2011 had some crazy-ass games, too. It wasn't every single week like it is this year,
I would say the Texans game wasn't fun. Not because you lost, but because Lions never traded leads with the Texans. But that's it. 8 out of 9 games, you've had just everything.
And you know what? I don't think that there has been... Man, it's really testing my memory right now to try to think back to that 2011 team. But just thinking about the 2014 team and what kind of was going on around that team, there was all the Sue talk, and the team was good. The defense was good. The offense left.
The offense left a
little bit to be desired, but. Man, I felt like I didn't have nearly as much fun with that team as I'm having with this team. And I don't know if it has something to do with their imperfectness with, you know.
It has everything to do with that in my mind.
Yeah, maybe it does. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Kerry Hyder went from potentially having to pay money out of his pocket to play football over the summer for the Lions for a chance to make an NFL team. And now he has 7 sacks in 9 weeks. There's just so many interesting storylines. The fact that the Lions have a winning record going into their bye without a linebacker on their team, that I would really be upset if they weren't there next year. Like, it's a really fun team. And look, you don't know where it's coming from each week too, right? Like, I mean, no. the first 4 weeks you get Marvin Jones and everybody's ready to say, well, he's the number one receiver. Is there anybody on this podcast right now willing to say that Marvin Jones is the number one receiver?
No, and I'm also not willing to say I'm trading Golden Tate.
And Golden Tate was traded by week 2. And now he's the toast of the town. Off
Ebron, but he had like a season high thing here. I think you can count on it coming from Prater and Stafford, Matt and Matt, but that's it. That's it. Like, I wrote about this on Monday. Like, I think what makes this team work in far as being exciting is just there's a flow to action. There is a flow in the action. There is a back and forth, a give and take that these games, that the Lions games in 2016 have. And sure, as a Lions fan, I would love it if they were beating every team by 20. Just hosing them down, stout defense, good quarterback play, good receivers, competent run game, just housing everyone, dominant performances, yada, yada, yada. That'd be fine. This is a lot more fun, even if you're going to lose.
It's not good for anybody's health, but it's so much fun. And this is why I love the NFL and why I love the regular season and hate the off season, because the wild swings of emotion are like, I don't get this in any other aspect of my life where I'm just like so depressed in one moment and so elated in another. And it's a crazy heroin drive, and I love it, and I can't get enough of it, and I'm sad that there's only 7 of these regular season games left.
It's something, man. It's just, I don't think any of us saw this team being this at the start of the season either. We thought this team would, like, you know, I think our predictions went between, like, what, 10-6 and 6-10. But I don't think we predicted that it's going to be just a bag of chaos every damn week, and that you are just going to get like a year shaved off your life watching a single game.
I don't know how you could predict that. I mean, what the Lions are doing is unprecedented. There's never been a team that's had their first 9 games all decided by a touchdown or less.
The Chargers were kind of like close to doing that for a while, but like, yeah, no, the last few games for the Chargers, they finally just, they've been able to put together 2 score endings. But like, yeah, man, the Lions are going to be down in the fourth quarter, and Matt Stafford's going to or not going to make a comeback. And yeah, they don't always win, but I mean, this isn't college football. Your teams don't always win.
This isn't the Michigan Wolverines. Shut
up. I knew it was going to get there eventually. You had to bring up college football to the guy who is a Wolverine.
Go Rockets.
Go Grizz.
All kind of moved on to different teams now. I have no clue where we're at in the recording as far as time. Anything else from midseason thoughts as we're going into this bye here? Just I want to say this. Thank you to everyone who's been screwing with us. That's the PG one. I love y'all who've been listening to podcasts. And over the bye, we're going to start working on some guests. We're going to finally get that element up and running. We're going to have something this week too to replace First Bite, since we won't have one. And that's all I've got.
Yeah, I really couldn't be happier with the fact that a lot of people have started to interact with the podcast, and they've started to be a little bit more hands-on with it and getting involved. Because at the end of the day, you know, we first started doing this podcast when Chris, you know, wanted to revive it, and I was totally on board with getting on here each week and just kind of talking through things and just kind of yammering about the Lions. It just started as a way for me to probably get a little bit closer to the other people here at Pride of Detroit. But I think it's so cool, especially, you know, we added the mailbag so early on, and, you know, the mailbag started to kind of hit its stride this season. I'm really happy with our community, and I just want to say thanks so far. You know, it's really cool when you when you wake up and you log on to Twitter to find Jim Caldwell's face photoshopped onto the body of Wonder Woman with watches on her wrists. It's a good feeling. So I just want to say thanks, everybody.
Yeah. And tonight we haven't really been bringing our best stuff. We wanted to be funny. We want to be upbeat, and we're bushed here, man. We're so tired.
We do have some reviews to read though. Do you want to do that after the break?
Yeah, let's do that.
We've got 3.
Holy crap. They are flooding in now. I love this.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
We got it. Get your shout outs.
All right.
Keep them coming.
Around. We'll do your shout outs. I think Jeremy's got a rage corner to get to. Shocking that Jeremy here is just. We're gonna diagnose just, Jeremy.
Filled with emotions.
A man should still be able to have this much energy. And I think I've finally figured it out with Jeremy. So stick around and I'll tell you what it is next. All right, Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast. We got some new reviews here. We didn't really get these off the top, so we should probably get to these right now, shall we? We've divvied these up.
Yeah, we got 3 of them. I refuse to read the first one, so who wants to take the first one?
I'll take it. I'll take this bullet. I know Ryan's going to, but if we let him, he's not going to get through it. This is a 5-star review from Mr. Sexy Pants. Ryan is right. We grilled Ryan. By the way, we grilled Ryan really hard. This is not one of his alts. This is not Bovada King 69 leaving this review.
Who is that?
I don't know, Ryan. Why don't you tell us?
I've never gambled a day in my life.
Mr. Sexy Pants writes, first things first, Butterfinger is the best candy bar.
Hmm.
Secondly, they are pretty funny and insightful and bring up different angles that other fans may not think of. He's right. We bring up.
I don't know what to think of that review.
No. He's right. We bring up reviews that other people don't think of. For instance, that Eric Ebron is not a bust.
We do defend Ebron. We do defend Stafford.
We had multiple people in my goddamn mentions on Sunday yelling at Ebron, even though he had a career high game.
I mean, people have dug their feet into that one long ago, and no one's going to budge on it.
I was going to say, not only did they dig their feet in, they poured cement into the holes in which their feet are dug into the ground. But, you know, we acknowledge Mr. Sexy Pants, and the first thing he says, Butterfinger is the best candy bar?
No, we can't.
Wow.
I'd rather keep talking about Eric Ebron and his snaps.
Okay.
Like...
All right, the snap right after the Minnesota game was really good when he said we beat the ass. Like,
but no, that wasn't even my favorite part. It's like, really nice stadium, but we beat the ass. By the way, Chris Berman actually had like a highlight that I actually liked. He was talking about US Bank Stadium, and because it's a bank, he kept coming up with like metaphors about how the Lions were pulling off a bank heist.
Perfect.
And golden gold.
Ah, nice.
Bank robbery. Like, it actually made sense. Chris Berman's voice makes less sense, but I got it. I figured it out.
High praise for Chris Berman in 2016. He made sense, and seriously, he was somewhat entertaining.
It's going out on top, baby.
All right, who wants to take Harry Mula, the B-diggity, five stars?
I'll take that. The review is by Harry Mula. The subject line, the B-diggity. It reads, football is a form of entertainment, and this podcast doubles down on that. Great football analysis, great segments. These guys are clearly having fun, except for today, and it pays dividends to the listener.
Wow.
Hold on, that's not even half of it. Chris is an excellent host with a unique persona who moderates and directs through the topics as only he can. Check his articles as well, as he shines in his prose. He's getting a little red right now, but I agree. If you haven't read Chris's article on Monday, it's really good. Anyways,
now
other POD contributors on the show, Jeremy, Ryan, and Alex, offer informed insight to the team as well as to whatever the conversation and mailbag direct them. If you're a Lions fan, I guarantee this podcast will become a staple in your weekly routine. It's fun, funny, and more than likely educational for even the more well-versed football fans. This review has been brought to you by the eaters of chocolate starfish and the drinkers
now
of hot dog flavored water.
The first review was by me. How could you not think that the second review was not by me as well? For the way that they sign off.
Well, with us.
It is long-winded, so you're kind of right.
You know what's also long-winded? This segment, reading these things like top to bottom, is probably a mistake.
Hey, I don't care if it's self-indulgent. I would give that review a 5-star rating.
I would too.
Ryan, read our final one. I can't read this person's
name. All right, I'll get through the third one, but I just want to point out in the last review, I did get billing over Alex. But anyway, so the third review, best podcast around by or from indiscernible English gibberish, a bunch of characters and letters just together. But it does end in ski, so he might be Polish.
Yes.
I've listened to this podcast for almost a year now, and if you want laughs, pop culture references, and Lions talk, this is the show for you. There's always at least one point in the show where I'm in tears laughing. Shout out to Chris for being a great, in capitals, host.
Oh, no.
And to Ryan for having the best intro music ever. Jeremy and Alex are also good. That's the most backhanded compliment.
Why is he giving you credit for the intro music?
I don't know. That should go to Fred Durst. Keep up the good work, guys. Go Lions. Hey, this is all good stuff.
This is technically a rage corner here, what we just did.
Rage? This is the love corner.
Let's talk about your rage.
The love corner.
You're yelling at me again.
I am. I'm yelling.
You're getting mad. reckon you can suck my
yelling.
Can you take a break?
Yelling.
Can you take a break?
I'm yelling at you.
Can you take a break?
Yelling.
Can I get my sucked?
Can you hear me? Yelling.
Can I get my sucked?
Yelling. Yelling.
Are you ready to suck now? Have you got it all out? Mad, ain't you?
Stupid.
Red face.
Listen.
Now you're calling me stupid.
Listen. Yes, I am.
This is Kangaroo Court.
You know what? You have a constitutional right to be a dumbass.
Okay, yeah, I'll go into my rage. Because right before the Matt Prater became a golden god, I was trying to prepare Ryan Matthews for his Facebook Live and telling him, hey, be on the lookout. Everyone is going to yell at Caldwell. Everyone is going to say he should have let the Vikings score instead of burn all that time. And it's going to be the narrative, and everyone's going to say fire Caldwell, blah, 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 blah. Luckily, we didn't have to deal with any of that. But let me talk about the idea of letting a team score, because I think it's horrible. There's only one situation in which you should allow a team to score in a late-game situation like that, and that's if a field goal would win it anyways.
Or if you're going to get an intentional safety.
Sure, whatever. But my point being, the only if a team is literally going to take knees and kick a field goal to win the game, then you want to let them score so you actually get the ball back. But if you have a chance, if they need to score a touchdown, you need to stop them from scoring a touchdown. That is your best chance to win a game. I don't care if you have Matthew Stafford back there and he has 25, 26 straight comebacks or whatever he has on his record. This team had already made a fourth down stop that game. They had them in two or one fourth down in that drive alone. So once they were first and goal, this team needed to just try to get the stop, and they did. And Caldwell actually used a timeout pretty well when they converted that fourth down, used the timeout, argued, got two more seconds on the clock. Pretty important. I'm boring Chris right now. He's yawning. No one likes time management
really
stuff.
Tired, man.
But the idea that you should just let them score. You're conceding the lead when you have a chance to stop them. How does that make any sense at all? It doesn't to me. This team has proved they can be stout at the goal line. They've had at least two, maybe three goal line stands this season already. And when you're playing a Vikings defense that one can't run the ball very well, two, Sam Bradford's not the kind of guy that you really want on a game-winning drive. This is a defense that could have stopped them. They didn't, but they made the right play by trying to stop them.
They got close to stopping them too.
Like, yeah, they were on a third down.
Talk about that at all? Like, who was it? Was it like an offsides call or something that nearly doomed?
That's what I was saying. Yeah. So they were.
Was that A'shaun Robinson who had the false start? No, neutral zone. A'shaun Robinson had a neutral zone infraction.
Yeah, they were third and two. Then they had him in a fourth and four later, and they had him in a third and goal. So that defense was close to getting off the field on several occasions in that last drive alone.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you, Jeremy. I think that at that point in time, the defense, like we said, I think it looked better than it had looked throughout the entire season up to that point. I think that being that the score was what it was as well, too, right? Being up 13-9, even if they get into field goal range, the field goal doesn't do anything for them. They have to get into the end zone. So why don't you try to take every opportunity to stop them from scoring? You know, the idea of also, you know, something else of note, too. Even if you let the Vikings score, remind me how the Lions offense did in the second half. Pretty not good, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, their first three drives were three and outs. You know, the Lions offense did not look good whatsoever. The only reason they got any points on the board in the second half was because of the blocked field goal and the very, very important return back by Glover Quinn for 32 yards that put him on the other side of the field. Without that, without a great special teams play, the Lions don't get any points in the second half. So to say that you should let the Vikings score to get the ball back to your offense that hasn't done anything in the second half, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No, not really.
Good rage, Jeremy. Good rage. Sorry, you got me fired up.
Very good.
You got me fired up by the end of the podcast. Good job.
I knew I'd do it eventually.
I kind of have a rage.
Uh-oh.
It's not really much of a rage, though. I kind of touched on that when I was talking about Eric Ebron, but now that I think I've covered my ground about the Eric Ebron haters. It's like nothing we say is going to really reach you or get to you.
Unreachable.
So I'm just not even going to try.
Unreachable.
It's like yeah, it's like it's just like a giant wall is up in front of you, man. Just you've. What's it like to surrender your heart to hate like that? I really wonder.
What's it like to put your dog in your avatar picture on Twitter?
I've been insulting a lot of dogs lately. Dude, man, like, Bomani's talked about this. Dog Avi. Don't have a dog Avi.
Y'all are dog haters, man. I'm not going to ever put one in my Avi, but come on. Dogs are cool.
No, the only one I like having in their Avi is Scott Barlow, because he's got his dog's actually kind of cool.
I don't know if he listens, but shout out to Scott Barlow.
Shout out, man. I love a guy who, when I follow him, he's like, welcome, I'm going to talk about finance a lot. But he's also like a crazy
Canadian superstar, too.
Is he?
Yep.
I would expect more than 3,000 followers for Canadian superstar.
He's my Canadian superstar.
Oh.
All right, well, let's get to the mailbag then. Let's just close this up before I just completely pass out.
Mail time.
Mail's here.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. We love the mail. We love the mail. We love getting you guys in. But I've got a little bit of a complaint because it's all lion stuff. It's all lion stuff.
The people are excited, Chris. Let them be excited about their team. They want to hear us talk about it and talk about it at length.
We just talked about them for 50 minutes. We're going to talk about them more.
All lions and no play makes Chris a dull boy.
Yeah, man.
Do you want to start asking?
I'm going to review Doctor Strange through the lens of the Detroit Lions if you're not careful.
We already had that happen with Suicide Squad. We don't want that to happen again, folks.
I know. I will do it again, motherfucker.
Here's the thing. Do you want to start asking, because we started using the hashtag AskPOD, do you want to start using the questions to the band POD that people started asking last March?
That is actually, okay, you've got some energy into me, so first off, we're going to answer your actual POD questions at Pride of Detroit, hashtag AskPOD, or in the AskPOD post, but I love that Ask POD. So if you don't remember, when we started podcasts, we were PODcast. We were using music from POD. And we decided that was too much for us.
Yeah, we were young. We all make mistakes.
I'm trying to find the last time POD actually tweeted. They haven't actually tweeted at all since the end of October.
Yeah, they probably haven't put out any music since I was born in 2003.
Hold up. They're touring with Sepultura.
Who are they?
Sabaton, Angra. Sepultura is like Brazilian metal. They're actually a really good band. That's like good ass music right there. This is going back. I'm reading their poster here for this. I guess this is a Mexico tour they got. I'm just reading some of the bands they got here. I know a bunch of these. They're touring with Nightbreed, man. Okay.
Sorry. All right. So
let's get to the Lions question, shall we? Let's start with the thread because these are our readers. Critical perspective, same old Lions, my favorite three words. Is it too soon for us to begin referring to same old Lions as meaning thrilling fourth quarter comebacks instead of, you know, the other thing?
You can't remove it. I don't think you can remove those three letters from the context. That
I would love to try to reclaim it, though.
You can't. You can't.
But they've already moved on to a new one. It's lionized, which is like Stockholm. They think like Lions fandom is like a form of Stockholm syndrome, and you get lionized. I don't understand that logic at all. Like, man, the negative people in this fan base, I don't understand them at all. They have like their own culture. It's so weird because I don't even see these people around like Browns fans, but
nah, everyone's got them, and they all live on sports talk radio.
Yeah, but I think okay, but also here for same old Lions, like thrilling fourth quarter comeback. Again, we've had three games where it hasn't been a comeback too. So it's just fourth quarter shenanigans, I think, probably, right?
Sure.
That's a little more palatable. There's absolutely been a change in this team, though, in this decade.
Well, yeah, no, they've played 500 ball since 2011. This is like an okay team. This is a team that doesn't deserve the negative stigma that it has from the past 6 years, based on how they played in the past.
I just heard, Mike O'Hara on the radio today. He said the same thing you did, except he was very much more dismissive. I didn't realize about this, that Mike O'Hara is very dismissive of people bashing on the Lions and like their record and their history as a pitiful franchise. He's having none of it. Just utter disdain in his voice.
Good on Mike. And he's been through it all. So shit.
Yeah.
Shout out Mike.
Wonder if we could get him on the podcast. All right. A few more questions here. Joseph R. Sweeney 5. Let's see here. The Lions seem to be having more middle of the season bye weeks lately. Do you approve?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a perfect time for the bye week, honestly. And I think both Minnesota and Green Bay have already had theirs. So I think the Lions are at a really big advantage right now, being able to take that extra week to get healthy, to kind of regroup, re-strategize. You know, they're in a really good position where they kind of want to be. The season is essentially still in their hands. So I think it's a perfect time for the bye.
I think it's a great time for the bye. I think the other thing, too, that can't be understated is the Lions get the bye. They play the Jaguars. And, you know, then they have a Thanksgiving game coming up. So now is a good time as ever to, you know, try to lick your wounds and get healthy in preparation for a couple of games that are going to come at you pretty quick.
All right. He's got a second question for us that I want to read. He's actually got three, but I'm only read two of them here. Do you watch less football when it's not a Lions Sunday?
I probably watch more football.
Yeah, yes, I guess that's kind of true for me, too.
I'm with Ryan. I'm so busy writing this recap that, like, I don't get to watch other games. It's why I stopped doing the Hangover this year. I used to do the Hangover. It was kind of like our NFL roundup, and it's like I can't watch any other 1 o'clock games when the Lions are on. And then the 4 o'clock games around, and I'm just, this season's left me so numb, I barely pay attention to it. Then get to Sunday night. The Sunday night games have been shit. I don't watch them.
Wrong. Yeah, outside of the Cowboys and the Eagles last week, that was, or I guess the week prior to this one, but
yeah,
you know,
two weeks.
the Raiders and Broncos was pretty good last night. I mean, not nearly as good as
it was fun, but the Raiders kind of dominated the whole game. I didn't really get the sense the Broncos were going to. I mean, maybe I'm just becoming more discerning with my football. I just watched that game and I'm like, there's no way the Broncos are getting back in this. The Raiders are just too good.
Sure. I was kind of even a little bit more excited for that car chase that we were watching, and I didn't even get to see the payoff. But the other thing too, you know, the three of us, we all split time doing the Facebook Live. So, you know, Jeremy's uber busy every Sunday, so, you know, he's always just way deep into the Lions weeds. But, you know, if Chris, you can attest to this too, but, you know, if you're doing the recap, I'm editing, so 1 to 4 o'clock, I'm in a bubble. And I don't come out of the bubble until sometimes, not until 4:45, almost 5 o'clock because of Facebook Live.
And so, I work in radio, so sometimes, like, I have to work during some of these hours too. So, like, I have to work, like, a game. So I will listen to that game, but it's like I'm dealing with that and the website, too. So I'm always a little busy, too. And to be honest, like, I mean, I haven't even watched that much college football this year, but I'm always watching a lot of football on Saturday, nominally, too. So just, man, I just get so burned out sometimes. Just the sensory overload really gets to you. There's a reason why most people in the sport just watch their own team.
Yeah. Well, the other thing this week, too, though, I get to watch the other NFC North teams and I get to root against them.
Yeah. Yep. That's the thing about bye weeks. It's a nice week off for us, too, where we can just kind of sit back and enjoy football for what it is. And I don't have to worry about fantasy teams ever. So it's an extra burden off for me.
Let's see here. J Wings 40 asks, how long before Matt Stafford climbs on top of the upright, tears off his pads and yells, I am a golden god, after a comeback win?
I mean, he's essentially already done that with his play. It would just be, you know,
What's this Golden God stuff? Is that a reference? Is that a pop reference I'm not getting?
I don't know. It would just be very verbose of him. A little bit too boastful. Okay. I can see Stafford doing something like that after the last game in February.
Yeah, Hail Mary against the Packers.
In the Super Bowl where two NFC teams will collide. But that's what's going to happen. This Madden sim is going to tear a hole in the existence, and it's just going to change everything.
The NFL's space-time continuum.
Yeah.
The division's going to realign itself. Conferences, everything's in the air.
Yeah, all right. Next one here. This is our last one in the POD mail, the thread, and then we'll go to Twitter. Just an old fart. He doesn't really have a question, but he says, on Toto, great band, but aren't most of you guys a little young for this group? Steve Lukather is in the conversation when you talk about all-time great rock guitarists. Ryan, will you agree with me when I say the conversation for all-time great rock guitarists starts and ends with Prince?
Yes. Yes, Prince is the greatest guitarist.
No one else is in this conversation. I'm sorry.
Prince is the greatest guitarist. You know what? I'm going to catch so much flack for that.
Yeah, don't come out to us with Eric Clapton or none of that shit. And if you want to know otherwise, just direct your tweets to Bomani Jones. He will inform you.
You love Bomani.
You know,
but he's right on this. Prince is the best guitarist ever.
Amir Abdullah would be very mad that no one has mentioned Jimi Hendrix, so I'm just going to mention his name.
Jimmy's cool. Jimmy's a really good guitarist, but he ain't Prince. Like, this is the thing. So many people hold Michael Jackson up as this kind of like demigod when it comes to 80s music, but Prince was really that dude. Like, Prince was just as much the performer. He wrote his own music. He performed it all. Like, he composed, he arranged, he did all that stuff.
Yeah, it's Prince and Bowie, and it's kind of sad that both were taken the same year, but Prince and Bowie, just absolutely, when it comes to just pure musicians, like, holy crap.
Yeah, and you know, I guess I really can't speak too much on Toto, considering, you know, I was born the same year that the Lions went 0-16, and that was in 2008, so I guess it is a little bit before my time.
All right, Benjamin Button. All right, let's get to these questions here from Twitter. We've got quite a few. We're not taking the one from Levy that I see already. Ben asks us, what's your favorite Stafford comeback?
Oh, I think it has to be the one that started it all, man. The Browns. It'll never be topped. It's such an iconic moment for him. He got
beat the hell up that game.
That's what makes it so iconic. Like, it was also a very big comeback. Like, the Browns were up big in that game. And it wasn't just the last drive, but of course the last drive made it so amazing. Separated shoulder, throwing a game-winning touchdown pass.
It's got to be, for me, Dallas, the fake spike dive into the end zone. Just Dan Miller going nuts and, like, freaking out because Stafford, like, faked everyone out.
As far as the most complete drive, I think that was his best, most complete drive. Because
he had a great drive, yeah.
That pass down the sideline. Oh. Ryan, you got an answer?
I don't know. I was kind of leaning between both of those, but man, I don't. The Indianapolis game was incredible because it was seemingly like he was working against all odds. All of his receivers were doing the things that he did not want them to do. They were not getting the F out of bounds. They were not doing the things that he wanted them to. But against all odds, he was able to marched him down the field, and it didn't result in the touchdown. But man, can you imagine if the season would have started off? Because I mean, if the Lions don't win that game, they start the season 0-4.
Next question here from Honolulu Blue. Mulligan looked pretty good out there today. Do you think he's the blocking tight end we desperately need?
Yeah, he blocked Dwayne Washington from getting more yards than he should have on one play.
Man, Pettigrew's probably coming back over the bye. This might be the end for Matthew Mulligan.
That might be a huge addition. Like, I don't think that could be understated. Like, a lot of people are concerned about, obviously, you know, getting Levy back, and Slay would be a huge person to get back. Don't get me wrong. He's probably one of the top, you know, three important people on this defense, you know, along with him and Levy, Levy and Ansa. But, man, Brandon Pettigrew would be a huge addition to come back because, you know, a lot of people just want to write him off as just being a blocking tight end. He can still be an effective, like, guy, you know, to catch the ball, like, to, you know, find a soft spot in the zone and sit in it and catch a football. you know, him and Ebron would be a very good tight end tandem. I mean, I'm not saying that they're Martellus Bennett and Rob Gronkowski by any means, but
I'm a little more lukewarm on that. Like, I actually think, and it wouldn't be, I think it's possible that Matthew Mullion rides the season out, to be honest. I mean, we are talking about a guy that's coming off an ACL injury, which is always a hard thing to do. And
for sure. Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know how good Pettigrew is going to be. He's definitely going to need at least a couple weeks of practice before he can get in the starting lineup. So we're probably not talking till seeing him on the field till like week 12-ish, in my opinion. So I think Matthew Mullion is definitely going to take on that role. And he didn't look great. I need to go back and watch the game again to look at him a little little more closely. But he's only with the team for 4 or 5 days. It's not going to look great right away.
All right. Next question we have here. P. Scott 2, especially in this up for grabs NFC, what is the percentage of Lions make the playoffs? And we got a lot of people asking about playoffs or like toughest game left. We kind of answered a lot of this in segment two, but I want to read a second question we have here. Can Matt Stafford also play for the Red Wings?
The Red Wings need help. A lot of help. Jeremy, by the way, if you guys want to, if any of you people out there are also a part of Red Wings Twitter, you can direct all your hate towards Jeremy Reisman, because during Facebook Live, he let everybody know, oh, the Wings are up 1-0. And then I said, Jesus. Hey, you really want to go be disappointed by a team? Go check them out. They'll rip your hearts out, unlike the Lions will, because they can't finish games. And what happened yesterday? Another L. How many of the, is that in a row? 5? 6?
No.
It's
like 3.
Boy, lost please. 5 in a row. It's 5 in a row, according to ESPN. Yeah.
That team has a 6-game winning streak and a 5-game losing streak.
You amazing. We're like, I love this just as a little bit of schadenfreude, because all the SOL people would talk about, I'm going to spend time with a team that doesn't treat me like crap. I'm going to go watch the Red Wings. Guess what? Quiet for you.
What position would Matthew Stafford play? Probably goalie, right? Because, you know, do you guys know that he was a catcher for Clayton Kershaw?
What?
Back in high school? Yeah, no, I swear to God.
They know each other?
Yeah.
What position would Matt Stafford play for the Pistons?
Mascot.
he would cut a very fat hooper, I think. I like it. All right, let's get a couple more in here. Let's go back a while. Ask POD, when will you come to Indonesia? I'm sorry. This is actually going to the band POD.
I was going to say, I was like, if we ever wanted to do a live podcast, let's do our first one in Indonesia, okay?
I'm in. Let's go bang. We'll at-tweet that person. Hey, we're finally here.
We're here.
Where are you at?
You know what we should we had a few readers, I think, from was it from Germany, I want to say. We had a couple of readers from overseas.
Well, yeah, because you wrote that piece on that
Moritz Behringer thing. Yeah, we should, like, and I know Frankfurt was like the heart of Germany, like, and really loving American football, and like that's where like the IFAF was like started for like international American football, like. Hell, man, I don't know. Probably get some good-ass beer over there. Put it up against some Michigan beers, like Dirty Bastard.
Yeah, we'll see how many of those Alec can drink.
I would like to do a live show. Just that's kind of my dream. Even if it's a couple years down the road, just do a POD live show.
And even if only our parents show up.
You'd be surprised, man. People like live shows. They'll stumble in for that shit. Okay, one more question here. Ty Finch, what is your favorite Black Mirror Season 3 episode? And explain in detail why it's San Junipero.
You're going to have to take another question. I think I'm the only one that's a fan of that show, and I have not yet delved in. I haven't delved into Season 3 yet. Sorry.
Well, I've got an answer for you. John C. Yes, Ryan.
In this Monday Night Football game, Richard Sherman just jumped offside so hard, and I think he hurt Dan Carpenter.
Holy shit.
Like, he nailed him. Like, he was so far offsides, and he shot right into his knee. And then he got up, and Sherman was just like, I don't know, he shouldn't have been fucking standing there.
Hold on, I'm turning this game on.
I don't know how Pete Carroll's ass is upset right now. If I was Rex Ryan, I'd be trying.
Ass is always upset.
I'd be trying to eat one of these referees right now.
Pete Carroll, no, he's not going to eat the referee unless the referee's telling him, you know, to accept the narrative, the government supplied narrative of 9/11.
Okay, Dan Carpenter was he was rolling around on the ground like he was actually hurt, but now he's back up and he's ready to kick the field goal. Yeah.
Fucking piece of shit.
Dan Carpenter really just went down in my book.
He flopped? You're saying he flopped?
Oh no. Like but the thing is too is that Sherman hit him so hard in the knee that it looked like he may have done some damage.
But he definitely sold it.
Oh yeah. No, that's why I believe that I thought he tore his ACL. I thought he dislocated his kneecap. There's a difference between roughing the kicker and running into the kicker still, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that should have been roughing the kicker. They're giving him 5 yards for running into the kicker right now, and Rex Ryan is fucking livid. dude, both the Ryan brothers. Oh my god, they're going ham right now.
I'm about to see here. Give me a second because it's like a minute delay on watch ESPN.
Rex Ryan was just like, "Fuck you, bullshit."
Hold on. Here we go. There we go. Yeah, motherfucker.
Dude, I don't know how. Watch this replay, Chris. Tell me how this is running into the kicker. He lowers his shoulder.
Hold on. I just got to the Ryan brothers freaking out.
Okay.
They can't try the field goal. Holy shit. There goes Rex. Yeah, boy. Yeah.
Finally, we get a replay on Twitter.
The Ryan brothers are like Romulus and Remus, just fucking animals.
Oh, Jesus.
How is that not roughing the kicker? He jumped off sides and he fucking killed him.
Damn. Holy shit. He got right in there, man.
I mean, the real issue is that needs that play needs to be whistled dead as unabated to the kicker.
Is the ref yelling at the clock operator?
Hey,
it's like, 3 seconds of the clock. It's not over.
And wasn't Sherman the guy who got up on the podium and was talking about player safety? And he just does that to Dan Carpenter. And then the way he reacts after, watch how he's like, he just shrugs his shoulders and kind of smirks.
Kickers aren't people.
It's true.
What is this ref yelling about? He keeps yelling, half is not over. The half is not over.
That's what I see a million tweets that just say the half is not over right now.
What is going on like right now? Times.
What is this?
This is the most bizarre thing I've seen. What is going on? They took the kicking unit off the field. They're not kicking the field goal anymore.
What? Isn't there like 3 seconds left?
Oh, because... Wait, what? Why did... They brought out another team to spike the ball.
Why are you spiking the ball?
Was the clock running when that happened?
Oh, wait... No, because they called the timeout. Dude, I am so fucking confused right now.
I'm so confused.
The play clock is going to run out. They're going to get backed up again. What is going on in this game?
Oh, no. It's because they're out of field goal range now because they didn't get the roughing the kicker. I think? Maybe?
No, there's a flag. It was fucking delaying game. What the fuck is going on? Oh, my God. This is unreal.